Let's
Love
do it.
Talk Radio.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, 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 oh,
oh, oh,
and oh, yeah. The Empowerment Saturday. 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment. Just for you, Shemay Man, Marvin Rome, and a crew. Coming to you live. We got DJ Johnson. Oh, we got a good one today. Brother George, Willie Lynch, Kwanzaa, and much, much more. Oh, you don't want to miss this one. Come on, y'all. It's family time. Oh, yeah. And there is no better love. No greater love than for self and kind. No greater love. It's 365 days of you know what for you know who. And there is no greater love, but no better love than for self and kind. Welcome, brothers and sisters, sisters and brothers, to African American Empowerment Saturday. It is where we coalesce. We come together to think about doing the work of working on ourselves here in America and around the world. See, it is up to us, the conscious ones, the ones that are aware, the ones who are somewhat awake, some who are there, and some who are on their way. But we have to do the work now of educating, motivating, inspiring, challenging, and working on ourselves. We got to help each other, brothers and sisters. A hand up and a hand out. Not crabs in a barrel, in a basket, but helping us free ourselves from mindsets, from states of mind, that we can liberate ourselves, become the independent people that we used to be. As a people, see, it's our choice now. Listen, we have been captured in this country, which is true. And now we're at a place where we can begin to liberate ourselves, to create for ourselves, to manifest for ourselves, to create our own communities and our own realities where we have our values in place, that we have our morals intact, and that we do the work of impressing that upon our youth and upon our children because they need it so desperately. They need guidance right now, and we're going to have to do it. How do we do it? There's five pillars in the foundation of the peace concept that we're sharing today. That is one, peace. A political agenda, starting with P, political. You have to understand American politics and world politics and how it works and engage so that it benefits you and your community and generations. Next is E, economics. We have to have an economic agenda that looks at how we understand the use and the utilization of money and finances. We have to have an economic agenda that helps us to build and create institutions that refine and define our own realities. Next is the A. The A is so important. That's the individualized part of the process where you actually understand how important your health, wellness, fitness, nutrition is, your mental health, focusing on developing your mental health, getting your act together, being able to push away from the processed and refined foods, all the sugary sweets. I'm sorry, I got to tell y'all, you got to do it because it is leading us to death and destruction. We are leading the league in health disparities. All you got to do is do the research. It's out there. It's online. It's everywhere. And we're still doing the same things. You got to get away from the sodas. We have to do that. Next, it is the C, relevant cultural programs like this one that really help you begin to think about navigating your life a little bit better than the conditioned state of mind that we've been placed in. Well, we just go along into the process, right? And we go along with whatever is put in front of us. And those days have to be over. We have to insulate and isolate ourselves to a place where we're protecting ourselves from the environment that's around us mentally, physically, and emotionally, and establishing ones that are positive and productive for us. And lastly, it's the E. It's a comprehensive education that really looks at examining all levels of humanity that we function in and become the best, greatest people that we can be today and every day. That's the peace concept. Join us. Come on in. All right, now it's the Stan Mack in the moment. I'll be right back. Man, Stan, the deck is packed today. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah, man, we got the deck.
I just love it when you're able to explain the pillars of the National African American Empowerment Association. You know, when we have institutions that define our own reality, quit trying to get in to fit in, this is where it's at, and this is what we're doing. But we must unify. And don't let's not sabotage ourselves. We should not look as to what we can't do. We can do all things. We can. We can do it. And so we got to quit trying to mimic other races and be who we are, original kings and queens, and make a difference.
I like that.
Right here on earth.
Brother Stan is so right. We're going to have to do that work of making a difference, creating institutions that define our own realities, our own schools, our own Fortune 500 companies, our own production models that create those things that are sustainable for us, that we can employ, that we can educate, and those institutions will begin to develop our people where they will begin to flourish. We got to do it. I'd like to make a quick announcement for those who are regular listeners. Dr. Bruce passed along to us this week that Brother Herbie passed away, so we want to just give a moment of silence and condolences for him and his family, as he was a faithful listener on the Empowerment Show and Empowerment Network. Brother Herbie, wherever you are, we know you, we're still with you, but brother, keep on doing the work on that side as you continue to push us as you transition into the ancestral realm. Moment of silence. Sending our prayers and blessings to his family. All right, now is my favorite time. Y'all know what that is. It is the Willie Lynch and Kwanzaa segment with Brother George. Oh, yeah. Come on, brother. Bring it.
Bring it. What?
We ain't going nowhere, Brother George. Brother George, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing fine, brother. I really thank you for, you know, the remembrance of Brother Herbie, because he always made some very mind, you know, things to make you think when he made comments. And it's hard to believe, you know, that, you know, you could be here today and gone tomorrow, you know.
True.
You know, but I really appreciate you taking out that moment, you know, to celebrate the brother for a minute, you know, and in remembrance. Today's
positive
principle is, yes, sir, is Nia, to make our collective vocation the building and developing of our community in order to restore our people to their traditional greatness. Nia, purpose. The act of being responsible demonstrates that a person is committed to a certain standard of behavior. Through commitment to an ideal, to a goal, to a positive ongoing relationship with someone or something, we find our purpose in life and begin to fulfill our human potential. Nia. Today, I want to read on a subject, you know, that I think is rather complex, you know, but Brother Kaba Hiawatha Khomeini took it on. And it's the Chewbacca Stone, an African theory on the origin and continuing development of the cosmic universe. Chewbacca Stone was originally conceived, studied, and taught in temples thousands of years ago. The pharaonic political system governed Questar in Kush 15 generations before the first dynasty of Kemet. Kush's huge geographical location included the countries called Abyssinia, which is Ethiopia, Nubia, which is modern-day Sudan, and Somalia, including Somalia. Wisdom was passed down from dynasty to dynasty, family to family, elder to younger, until it finally reached the dynastic families of ancient Kush. And finally, in Kush, Kemet, Egypt, thousands of years later, during the Napatan 25th dynasty, approximately 710 BCE, a Nesetbati, a pharaoh named Shabaka, rewrote the original Memphite theology. He said it had become worm-eaten and was too important a document to be allowed to perish. He said it housed sacred scientific wisdom of his ancient ancestors. The Memphite theology dates back before the Old Kingdom, 2060 BCE. It was copied onto a large black granite tablet. Shabaka stone is somewhat damaged and is now located in the British Museum. Shabaka stone took the early African ideology about creation and placed them into a symbolic system which revealed the divine laws of nature. It utilized the figurative language of metaphors and myths to tell a spiritual, scientific, philosophical story. I'm sure that this is a complex reading, but as African people, I think we need to take the time out, you know, to just study a book like this, because it's some fascinating things in it, you know, that when you start reading it, it doesn't sound like just mythology. It sounds very real to you that's how the beginnings of this experience that we call life took place. And for our ancestors who have defined it so many thousands of years ago is an amazing thing within itself. But brother, if you don't have any questions for me, it's back to you.
All right. Thank you, Brother George. And as always, the empowerment question of the week. How do we, as African Americans, blacks, right, or black people around the world for that matter, return or find our humanity again?
Well, one, we have to study our ancestral past, and we'll find that there is a lot of reason for us to have self-respect for ourselves. And once we reach that point where we are self-respecting of our own selves, we can restore ourselves to the position that we were once in, probably the most respected people on the planet because of the enormous amount of contributions that we made to human civilization. And so we have to continue to study, and more study to claim what is rightfully ours, and give our youth something to live for, something to be proud of, something to represent, and take their place and begin to be the inventors and creators of new systems, you know, for this experience that we call life. And I think that we will get back to that point. It's no question. But it's going to be time-consuming. But we have patience, brother. So that's my response, Brother Marvin.
All right, Brother George, thorough as ever, thorough as ever. We got to do a job now. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. We have a job to do, finding ourselves again, finding our humility that will lead to our humanity. We have to knock now. We have to seek, and we have to find self-love, self-love. respect, harmony. We have to find peace within our families and our communities. We have to find and create love again amongst ourselves. We have to find happiness. And then we have to be able to utilize that happiness to create an environment that will help our young people find love for themselves. We can put down the guns and pick up a hammer or a brush or a tool or a computer and create. We're going to have to put down some of the properties, the mental and emotional properties that we picked up along the way, and find ourselves happy, healthy, content with love and respect in ourselves that will then lead us to loyalty and devotion for ourselves, for our families, and our communities. It's up to us to get that work done today and every day. Again, welcome to African American Empowerment Saturday. It is 365 days of this all year round. That's what we're going to do. And now, real quick housekeeping. Call in line today, as always, is 845-277-9250. Once again, 845-277-9250. Tell somebody to call in. Get in on this conversation. Oh, we got a good one today. It's DJ Johnson here live, therapist, human being, business owner, and much, much more. She just said human being. Also, Slido's in effect today. Hit me up on Slido, slido.com, S-L-I-D-O.com. I'm looking forward to seeing your comment out there today. And if you get out there, tell me where you're living, where you're hitting the show from. All right, 124-4926 is the Slido number. All you got to do is slido.com. Go in and put this number in, 124-4926. Is all you need, and we can dialogue, we can hear what you have to say if you just go over to Slido. And now, Brother George, you ready?
Yes, sir.
Oh, we got DJ Johnson coming in. DJ, it's your turn. Bring it. Oh, yeah. I see you out there shaking. Come on, work it. Uh-huh. You right here. You want to sing? Go ahead, sing. Going anywhere, right here. I see you rocking, Brother George. Okay. DJ,
yes,
welcome,
sir,
to the show. How are you?
I love it. Good afternoon, everyone. Happy New Day.
Happy New Day. Welcome to the show. We're glad that you're here. Yeah, we're glad you're here. You have a great topic today. Talk isn't cheap. The cost of beating yourself up and the power of self-kindness. And so I am really interested in our listeners learning more about who you are. So I'll do a brief intro and then I'll turn it over to you. DJ Johnson is on a mission to strengthen family systems and to help communities of people heal from generational and environmental trauma. That's some good work right there. We love that on our end because our people need it. He provides mental healthy therapy and educational workshops to help people take care of their own minds and their bodies. Her company also provides parent-child interaction therapy, PCIT, and that's a treatment for children ages two through seven, and caregivers. And so she wants to help decrease the unwanted behaviors in the home and in school environment. So I say welcome today, Sister DJ Johnson, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here.
Did I get it all in there?
You did get it all. I appreciate that. I wonder if there's a lag. Can you hear me well? I may have to change my audio.
Yeah, I can hear you. Perfect. You're clear.
Okay. All right. If we're good, I will go ahead and go. So, Brother Marvin, you talked about the potential that this could be an interactive discussion, which I'm all about. So the more dialogue we can have in this topic, the better, because I think this is something that we all need to have a say in, because it affects our community, it affects us as individuals as well. And it really segues from some of the things that y'all have talked about here today. So it feels like a topic that's very on point.
All right.
All right, so...
You there?
I am here. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, okay. I think we do have a lag, so I'll do my best to manage that. So I have a few talking points, and I was thinking about this topic as you were talking, and one thing I'd like to add to what you said about needing to heal ourselves is there is always, every one of us has this, there's always an internal dialogue going on. And that internal dialogue it could be a variety of voices. It could be multiple voices, but we all have an internal world of messages that sort of guides us in the way we think about things and in the way we respond to things in our outside world. And unfortunately, many of us struggle with having that voice be one of kindness. So when I was thinking about how does a negative internal dialogue affect our bodies and our relationships, the relationship with self is one that gets impacted. The relationship with children is one that gets impacted. And the relationship with our partners is another that gets impacted. And obviously there are many more. But as we think about how to heal our communities, I really do believe that really starts within the family. And so self, children, and partnerships are where this idea of internal dialogue tends to come out and run rampant. And I'll give you a sense of what I mean. We've all, I won't say we've all, I don't know everyone listening, but it can be really common to beat yourself up for making a mistake or having an uncomfortable feeling. We can feel like it's not okay to feel certain things. And so inside, that translates to I have a feeling that's uncomfortable that I'm trying to figure out, but then I also have another part of me that doesn't feel okay to feel that. And when those two parts of ourselves start to argue, a war begins. So now I am feeling something uncomfortable, maybe grief from losing a loved one. And then I'm also feeling bad about it taking so long, or people telling me to get over it, or people sending mixed messages about whether my grief is acceptable. And so then that other part that says you're doing something wrong has a way of creating shame about the feeling. And then we spend time and energy trying to separate ourselves from our feelings. And we do that a lot of ways. We can sleep. We can do numbing things, smoke, drink, sex, engage in risky behaviors. Like there are a lot of ways that we try to avoid feeling things. And one thing that I work on with the people that I serve is acknowledging those feelings in a way that don't lead to behaviors that we don't find acceptable, behaviors that put us more at risk of feeling things like shame and guilt. Because our fears about our feelings and our thoughts sort of lead us to try to numb and avoid them. So when we think about the cost of beating yourself up, you know, people say talk is cheap, but internal talk is not cheap. It has a high price when it is self-sabotaging, because it can ruin your relationship with yourself. It can make you feel worthless, powerless. It can ruin your relationship with your children. It can ruin your relationship with your partner. And so one way that I encourage individuals to work on their external relationships, it may not surprise you that people come to work with a provider like me in hopes of behaving in a different way so that their relationships will improve. And one of the key points that I try to make is that the way you feel about yourself is usually the way you behave or respond to stimulation. And so we start with the internal dialogue. What is this chatter? What is this banter? What is going on inside that's contributing to the way we're viewing these situations or the way that we're responding to these situations? And more often than not, there is some part of us that feels wrong, that feels wrong, that feels like I am wrong, I am too much, I'm not enough, I'm unlovable, I am unworthy, I am responsible for something really bad. We internalize a lot of guilt and a lot of shame. It's not to say that our behaviors don't support that, but when those narratives sink in, they have a way of attaching themselves to everything we do because they create a lens, a lens that we look at, that we look through to see our lives. So when we can clean up the dialogue, when we can introduce something good or even neutral, on the inside, then we have a better chance of seeing through a different lens. I'll give you an example. And I'm gonna go for parenting because that's always a hot topic, right? There's always this debate about what is healthy parenting versus what is coddling kids, what's abusing kids. Like there's always a debate, and I'll give you my perspective on that. This isn't about whether I agree with spankings or if spankings and beatings are. This has nothing to do with that. This is if you want your children to learn something, you have to first learn it. If you want your children to know how to be patient, you have to demonstrate patience. If you want your children to be kind, you have to demonstrate kindness. And so a lot of times when children behave in ways that parents don't appreciate, it sends a signal to the parent that they're doing something wrong, because what kind of parent am I if my child is behaving this way? And that can be a very challenging thing to look at. Depending on your internal resources, you could see that as something to defend yourself against, something to offer aggression toward. Or you could also look at yourself to see where can I shift in what I'm modeling for my child? Because more than likely, since I am the place where they learn all the things, whether it's through the way I treat them or the environment that I expose them to, where can I make a shift in what I'm teaching? And that starts inside. Because you are likely also a part of the environment that they are learning from. So, Brother Marvin, when I heard you speak about providing that sort of healthy atmosphere for children, it really does mean on the parental level or just on the family top of the hierarchy level, being willing to make shifts in how we perform and how we treat ourselves that have a way of trickling down onto all those that we influence. And it really does start with how you feel about yourself on the inside. If I have self-hatred or if I internalize hate for my own self, it would be really challenging for me to make changes to my eating habits that will help my body, or changes to my mental habits or my physical habits that will help my body because I feel unworthy to do so. And I think that is to me, the crux of where a lot of our dysfunction lies, because it's so microscopic, but it's always there. It's untouchable. You have to seek it. You have to go and be willing to touch it, to examine it in order for it to change. It doesn't happen because you go out, hang out, and be with your friends and get drunk or smoke or whatever. It doesn't happen through those numbing, distracting behaviors. It happens from studying it. I like that. I like that Brother George said study, because that really is where change happens. You get exactly what you practice out of life. And if you practice pursuit of healing, then you get healing. If you practice pursuit of numbing, then you get numbing. And so, again, when I say talk isn't cheap, I hope I'm highlighting that what goes on in your mind about you shows up in every aspect of your life, because it is the lens that you use to see life. And if you want that lens to change, you must offer yourself something different or pursue some sort of knowledge about how to get it. And from my perspective, self-kindness and compassion is the way. On a personal note, I spent my morning offering myself a variety of compassionate statements, just because it's been a rough week. It's been a rough week. And, you know, the idea of coming here and being with you all, I had a moment of challenge. I had a moment of challenge because I was feeling a bunch of things and not really stepping into that kindness space. And I had to stop and remind myself that I have worked on this, developing this tool for a while. And instead of trying not to feel whatever it was that I was feeling, I just had to say, DJ, I don't call myself DJ, by the way, I call myself D. I said, D, it's okay to feel that. You can spend the next 20 minutes trying not to feel this way, and that will get you nowhere. We spend a lot of time trying to outthink our thoughts. Like, if I just think hard enough, I can come up with the right combination of thoughts or words that will explain what I'm feeling or at least alleviate the pressure of frustration, right? But I had to stop, and I said, it's okay to feel that. It's okay to feel that. And allowing it to be okay gives me options. It gives me options. So sometimes people struggle to feel okay with their feelings because then they don't trust what they'll do next. It's like, okay, I feel this overwhelming emotion, and now I have to react in some way. I either need to fight, I need to run, or I got to freeze and, you know, just hope it goes away. And that's our nervous system, right? We all have fight or flight. But when you take the time to mindfully acknowledge what you're experiencing, that helps you to, with practice, calmly decide, now what? I acknowledge the feeling, it's okay to feel this thing, and now what do I do next? Well, what I chose to do was offer myself thanks. Thank you for seeing me. Thank you for letting me have that, because it was there. It was undeniable. We didn't need to spend any more time trying to will it away. Thank you for allowing that emotion to exist. And in that particular situation, it was able to subside, and I could come here and be fully present with you, which I'm grateful for. So developing a practice of inner kindness is how you shift a negative, self-deprecating internal dialogue into something that you can work with, something that actually helps you to feel better. Your body deserves that. It definitely doesn't thrive off negativity. As much as we think, some people think they do thrive off negative emotions or negative stimulation, and I think that might be adaptive. I think that there is a part of our culture that has been conditioned as a survival tool to be drawn to, how can I say that? Be drawn to just to know how to adapt when things are challenging, not necessarily being drawn to drama, but just knowing how to compartmentalize it in a way that doesn't offer, like that doesn't create more apparent stress. But on the brain level, on the cognitive level, the body doesn't forget any of that stuff. It takes it all in. It's a database. It takes it all in. It remembers it. It categorizes it. And when it's faced with other situations that are similar in nature, it responds. It responds in a very systematic way. And so, again, when I say that this self-kindness work is microscopic, it's because you really do have to take the time to weed through where some of these negative messages are coming from, what the negative messages are. Sometimes it's not even your own voice. It could be the voice of some other entity, whether it be in the music you listen to or a person in your life that has influence over the way you think about things or the things that you do. Have I, just for the sake of understanding, have I articulated how internal dialogue affects everything?
I would say yes, absolutely. Keep going, sister. Keep going. You got Slido burning up over here.
Okay. Well, I have a few more points. Let me see. Let me go to my. All right. Let's see. Thank you for this space.
But
you
DJ,
know I'm
this is the kind of work that we need, right? And these are the kind of subjects, right? Because we're talking, you know, a lot of areas that we need healing and work and investment in. But the interpersonal, that work that you have to do within yourself, right, is though are those places that we really need to begin to examine, right, the work or the sometimes the destructive places that have been developed through your experiences, whether in your childhood or even your adult life, where it is now manufacturing a feeling or a way of being. So
mm-hmm.
Can you speak to that briefly?
Say that last piece one more time. The sound went out.
Okay, just how the experiences, right, or those words like you mentioned that a parent could say or a person who's who you're in a relationship with that can say that would then fester and create these feelings and these thoughts that we create about ourselves. That leads to a negative internal dialogue.
It does. It does. And, you know, it really is just internalized hate, right? Because if, let's just go from the parent-child perspective, and I'm always talking about parents and kids because it's such a critical relationship. And honestly, it holds me to, it puts me on notice about my own relationship with my kids to make sure that I'm also being a steward of this information. Mm-hmm. So when a child behaves in a way that you know, parents say all the time, I didn't raise them like that. I didn't raise them like that. And this is not to challenge, you know, what we didn't see as, you know, as witnesses or bystanders of the way a person was raised. But children learn everything they get. They pretty much learn it from the environment that they were in. And so they may not have heard a direct message of you are this or you're not that, but they experience it through nonverbals because people are very intelligent in that way. We know how to perceive information even when there are not words. And so when a child, in particular, when a child hears a constant message of that they are not accepted by a parent based on their behaviors, it has a way of following them into other environments. So it can go from the home environment to the school environment and into adulthood, into other relationships. But to come back to your question, why is the parent responding that way to the stress of a child misbehaving? And if the parent does not know the language of gentle, loving acceptance, it would be really hard to convey that. So more than likely, the thing that the parent is doing outwardly is not just the thing the parent thinks is the right thing, but it is the only tool that they have. We're all out here doing the best we can at any given moment. I don't know anybody that wakes up and says, you know what, I'm not doing my best today. I'm just not. I'm going to do half of my best, and that's just going to have to be enough. We all are out here doing our best. And so if a parent's internal dialogue is forceful, if it is mean, then that will likely be the way they interact with other people when feeling stressed, because that's the way they talk to themselves when feeling stressed. Did I answer your question?
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a good one. And so as we continue to look at the images that our children are seeing in their parents, along with the music that they're listening to, right, and those environmental things that continue to invade, if I can, our children's minds and their subconsciouses, that then creates this new body or this new mind that then begins to explore the world from a different position or standpoint. And then parents begin to wonder why their children are behaving a certain way. Many times in my mind, the children are a reflection of their parents and their community and their environment. And we have to do a better job of understanding those critical images that our children are either seeing or not seeing or exposed to on a subconscious level. What are your thoughts?
I agree with you 100%. And what I will add to that, it is so very, very, very challenging to step away from the crowd, from the masses. And I appreciate your radio show so much, mm-hmm. because it is a space where people who are curious about doing just that can come and ingest something different, some different type of material. And that's not to say that it's not available other places, but I firmly believe. But okay, I'm gonna tell you this. I told you this the other day, and I'll repeat it here. 3 years ago, I stopped watching television. When I moved, I did not put a television in my house. And stepping away from mass media, even shows that I adored, because there's a lot of subliminal stuff in television programming that's not meant to be harmful in any way. It's just, you know, you take in, you learn things from the things that you see. I used to be a person that enjoyed all of that. I enjoyed the ratchet music. Yes, I enjoyed all of it. And I say ratchet music because I really did enjoy like the ratchetness of the music. Something about the beats, I would dance. Like it was, I've always looked at it like, okay, this is art. You know, I love the beat. I can dance really well to this beat. It's inconsequential. It's just music. And stepping away from that influence and focusing on, like, how do I want to feed my soul? How can I clean out some of the stuff that was rotting in there? How can I sort of reset this experience I'm having with life? I come back now to music, and I cannot ingest it. I cannot experience it in the same way that I did before, because when I listen to certain lyrics, I'm thinking, why would I let a man treat me like that? Why would I repeat words from any artist, hip-hop, R&B, or whomever? Why would I repeat words out of my own mouth and dance to these words in a way that colludes with the message as if I agree with it, if I don't? And that's not to say I've totally stopped listening to music, certain types of music or anything like that, but my relationship with it has shifted in that I see how penetrating those words are to how you see yourself. And when you think about children being a part of that, I mean, they are sponges. They learn from every environment they are in. Anything they listen to, mm-hmm. anything they see, anything that tastes. I mean, there are developmental stages around the use of different senses. So children are constantly learning. They must be protected from certain types of stimulation. They have to be if there are going to be shifts in the way our community takes care of each other. Because a lot of the stuff that's out there now and before, but just a lot of it, it does not communicate care for community at all. Your thoughts?
Well, I think you're exactly right, DJ. When we're looking at the cultural and societal influences that we're facing, we have to create a SARS or a strategic defense system for our people, right? Particularly for our children, right? Because we're mm-hmm. being exposed to so many different mindsets and so many different images, right? Whether seen or unseen, that is then directing our behavior, directing our feelings, directing our moods, directing our emotions, and influencing our behaviors. I will say this. I think some of the situations that we find ourselves in terms of the crime and violence in our community is directly attributed to the music that they're listening to, that we're creating, right, that's being sponsored by the radio or the record company and promoted by the radio stations. But those are the sounds, and those are the beats, and those are the words that are being driven down inside of our people's hearts and minds on a daily basis, almost twice or three times an hour. They're hearing the same song over and over again. What do you think about that mm-hmm. in terms of in such a subliminal message that is redirecting our focus and attention from self-love to self-hate or self-loathing and so much more?
I would love to say it's subliminal, but sometimes it really is, like, in the words, it is what I call social savagery. It is, how can I put these lyrics together in a way that creates a punch toward the other person, right? And it's not new. It's not a new thing. What I can say about what you just said was, the problem I see with it is that it's so irreverent. Like, it's not a big deal, and if we can make it harmless looking, then people mm-hmm. will believe that it's harmless, and that's how people get away with it, you know. And I don't know who the people are. I'm sure we all have opinions about who people are, but that's how these structures and these poisons are allowed to be ingested into our bodies because they seem harmless. It's the same thing with the ABC, you know, the alphabet company that sells us poison.
Right.
You know, it's the same exact thing. It's made to seem harmless, and that for me is where that internal work comes in, because I have to be keen on what actually harms me. And the only way for me to do that is for me to look at how I'm being harmed by my environment, or in what ways I mm-hmm. feel pain, or in what ways I am not well. Because if the other side of that, honestly, is that if it's my only resource, what is it that you expect me to do? As what other things can I do if I can't go to the ABC store, or if I don't have, you know, this music or these lyrics or these outlets? Then what else is there for me? And so I spend a lot of time teaching people the power of kindness, but as a segue from mindfulness, it's how can I build internal structures that fortify my mind and my body so that I don't need to reach out to some of these external influences, especially those that I know don't suit me. Or maybe I don't know on a conscious level, but don't necessarily feel good to me in totality, you know? And so it just goes back to being willing to look at, is this really good for me? And being willing to challenge, in what ways can it be harmful? Because when we just do what people tell us to do. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
True. Yeah, I'm sorry. That challenge must happen, right? It's we're to this place. If I say, and I do this in some of my workshops, if I had a vial of strawberry-flavored poison and it tastes really good, would you drink it? Particularly if you love strawberry.
Mm-hmm.
And so the image is like, even what they're doing with cigarettes, they have it on the packaging. And it tells you exactly what it'll do to you, but we still smoke, right? And a lot of people that we know, we hear, you know I got to do better. But there is some place that you have to go within yourself, and that's what I'm hearing you say, that there, the answer, that you don't have to look outside of yourself for it. It is the work that you have to do internally to listen and hear those voices and then be okay with them and then start to have a productive way in which you can utilize your strength and your own voice within to kind of minimize and neutralize those voices as we go along. DJ, tell me for a minute, what are your thoughts on the power of kindness? Talk to us about that for a minute.
Kindness can be very important when you decide to make a shift like this. I tell people all the time, like when you start to make changes in your life, when you decide to change your eating habits, or you decide you want to follow a lifestyle of physical activity, or you want to leave a unhealthy, toxic relationship with a person that does not care about you, or you know, when you want to practice a different parenting technique, one that doesn't create fear and terror in your children. Like when you make a big change in your life, there is a tug of war between the old way and the new way. And in that middle ground, in that middle of that tug of war, if those, if the new way is not really fortified in you, you'll go back to eating the hot Cheetos, you know, you'll go back to sitting on the couch instead of working out. Like you will go back, and that's okay. And that's where kindness comes in. Because if I can insert kindness in a moment where I'm struggling and I'm human and I am not perfect, then I'm more likely to be able to see myself as worthy of trying again. This is where kindness comes in, because people want to make a lot of, people are always on some sort of journey, right? New year, new me. The new year is always a time where people are making changes. But when they don't and they beat themselves up internally, it creates a shame that says, you were never going to be able to do that. You can't do that. You're not good enough to do that. It creates shame, right? Or you put the responsibility on the environment. Oh, I was going to do it, but I couldn't because such and such and such and such. when you develop a voice of kindness to say, okay, maybe I set the bar a little high, but I can still keep trying. I can still do this. It can help that tug of war feel a lot easier because you're not fighting yourself. Because it really doesn't have to be a war. It can be a round table collaboration between the part of you that wants something different and the part of you that feels stuck. And how can these two parts negotiate and work together? Kindness ends the war.
I like that. I like that. So we're talking about an internal dialogue, right? And we're talking about aspects of self, right? That is within you, right? Your own voices and your own feelings and your own thoughts. And so I just want to speak to, we have been in my mind and to me in my reality, completely indoctrinated in a number of ways about how we feel about ourselves, our physical image, our humanity, right? Our humaneness. And those things have been challenged within our community and our culture and our people, right? Our humanity, our very humanity has been challenged, right? The color of our skin, the shape of our noses, the texture of our hair, all of these ingredients make a person, right? So that's where culture comes in, right? That's where environment, supportive environments come in to support the self-imagery, the self-talk, and the self-love, right? So we have to do a better job of having these types of conversations and then developing strategies, useful strategies that work, that assist, that help, that liberate. And so that's what this show is all about. So, and going back to that kindness piece that you talk about, what would be some steps that you could share with our audience about beginning to take the initial steps of being kind to oneself?
Well, I am a huge fan of going to therapy, so go to therapy would be a great one to take. That's always a good step. Even the thought or the pursuit of a therapist, you know, you may not get an appointment for months, but just taking that step is an act of self-love, right? People talk about affirmations and gratitude journals. Those are also really great ways to take a step away from the old way and offer your body something different. Even if you're not consistent with it, even if you don't remember to do it all the time, or even if you struggle to know what to do, any actions you take toward offering yourself, like feeding yourself something good, are helpful. Listening to this radio show, listening to podcasts where people are teaching about it, reading books about it, feeding your body information that nurtures your soul and not tears it down. And that would be where I'd say, like, putting something good in. The other thing I say is very, very helpful. So when you are in that place where you're trying something new and it's really hard to do, and you're inserting kindness and you're accepting your feelings and accepting your emotions, show some gratitude to your body for that, because it's really, really hard work, right? It's hard work to sit in an uncomfortable emotion and let it course through your body and not react in your environment. It takes a lot of hard work to push against some of those habits, the habit of fighting people or numbing a feeling or a thought. When you can sit through some of those things without engaging in that reactive behavior, offer your body some sort of reward. Get up and move. Drink water. Make sure you get enough rest. Like, the body is working hard for your survival and to help you to thrive. So when you can take care of your body, when you nourish it mentally and physically, you are also offering yourself acts of love and kindness. So I like to keep things really, really simple. I think therapy is a great place to sort of work through the nuances of the internal dialogue, because it can get real thick in there when you start to unravel some of that stuff. Like, there are a lot of different parts of our personalities that can show up in the room. But just on the day-to-day level, move your body. Drink clear water. Eat a rainbow. I would say go to the grocery store and get one rainbow color, one food from each color of the rainbow. Try a new food. See how you like it. Give your body something nourishing to eat. Talk to somebody. So we got move your body, drink water, get enough sleep, get enough sun.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to a person that is encouraging to you. You might be going through something. Who you pick up the phone and call matters. You can go with the person that's going to say, well, why don't you just do such and such and such and such? That might not be the person you need. You may need the person that's just going to listen to you. You may need the person that's going to say, I can tell you're going through a really hard time. And if you don't have that person, therapy. Therapy could be that person. I went over sleep, healthy relationships, nutrition, exercise, mindfulness. Mindfulness is my favorite, Brother Marvin. I'm going to be honest, because a lot can be found in the breath. A lot of strength can be found in learning how to slow your body down through deep or even fast breaths, but the awareness that your body is breathing. It helps you to get oxygen to your brain because you can't think without oxygen. And so developing a mindfulness practice doesn't require anything from anyone but you. And I often say it is something that takes time and practice, but it's very worth it when it helps you to slow down that internal storm, that internal war, long enough to respond with inner kindness and inner love.
Oh, that's so beautiful and so true, right? Because really, we need healing, right? I don't think we have, as a community and as a culture in this country, completely healed. I just think we kind of went along.
Oh,
it's
no.
Kind of like seeing a traumatic event, and then you be like, okay, it just act like, and families do it all the time, just act like it never happened. So we act like it never happened. The trauma in our culture and the trauma of our experience and the trauma of our ancestors, we just ignore. But those things are genetic. They're still environmental, environmental, but they're also cultural, right, and societal.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to go to the lines, right, in just a few minutes. But this is a great, great conversation again. And DJ gave us a good list to start, right, a great starting point for you all who are listening now. Here's the call-in number, 845-277-9250 if you have a question, comment, or thought, right? We're at Slido today, and the Slido is 124-4926. Go out there, slido.com. But I just want to hit a few Slidos before we go to the lines. And it's a tremendous response over here. The first Slido is, we desperately need healing. The next one is, we must manage that voice and voices, right? That voice within us. And those voices that we hear, we have to be able to manage. And I think you made a good point, DJs, that you don't have to resist those voices, right? Is that correct?
Correct. Correct. Absolutely.
Okay. Okay. Relationship with self, children, and partnerships. I like it. Okay, so somebody likes that. So can you kind of just piggyback on that point that you made about relationship with yourself, your children, and partnerships?
Yes, for sure. So what I said was, when we think about healing the family, those are pretty much the relationships we have within the family, ourselves, our children, and our partners. And so the way we treat our internal self is usually the way we treat the people around us. And so if we've internalized self-hate, then that subconscious hate shows up in the way we interact with the partner we have chosen and the children that we have bared. And particularly related to the partnership, that could be a monumental problem in a partnership when there is this hate being projected into it. It can breed mistrust. It can breed contempt, criticism, lack of confidence, lack of love. These things have really large consequences when people who are not healed or pursuing healing or even aware that they need healing are entering into relationship dynamics where that internal dynamic turns into the dynamic of the relationship. It can be, it just has a pattern that gets perpetuated from generation to generation.
True. Let's go back to Slido for a minute. Internal dialogue. That was a great part. DJ, we got to have you back because we don't have enough time to go through all of these Slidos. They say internal dialogue, we must go there. So I really want to kind of pin that down a little bit, but I'm going to keep going because I want to pin that for you later. Somebody said, we need more of this. A new book, The War with Self. You got a book on your hands there. separate ourselves from ourselves to avoid feeling what's real. All right, last one, and then we'll go to the lines. Acknowledging feelings reduces behaviors. This is the help that we need as a people.
Yep.
I like that. All right, one more. Self-sabotage. I could just keep going. Self-sabotage is the useful tool for self-destruction. Wow. Okay, I'm going to stop right there. There's so many more. Okay, let's go to the lines. All right, 845-277-9250. Thank you for sharing out there on Slido. Appreciate that. We'll go to 0673, your first on deck. 0673, welcome to the show. Do you have a question, comment, or statement for DJ Johnson?
Yes, Brother Kevlon. I got a comment.
Hey, brother.
I don't know the correlation between self-hatred and self-doubt. But some people say, who am I that I should go before the people? I'm just a sharecropper. And Fan Lou Hamer said something like that. We wouldn't have Fan Lou Hamer. And so self-hatred not only can ruin our relationship with yourself, but it also can ruin the relationship with the people. Because with the character assassination on the rise, you got to like yourself because they'll use something in your past to attack you, to stop you from going forward. They try to do it with Malcolm, right? They say, you a druggie. You a pimp. And Malcolm said, you had to use a bigger stick than that. He said, I fessed up to that, but that was my past. That's not where I am now. So I think her message was very powerful because you got to like yourself because not only if you don't like yourself, it's detrimental to yourself, but it also carries out into the community as well. And I like what your sister had to say.
That's beautiful. Thank you, brother. Appreciate you stopping by.
Thank you. I agree with that 100%.
DJ, that's so important, right? Those things that we hear, and you really gave us a lot to digest, right? But I want you to speak really quickly before we go to the next call about your, I'm calling it fast from the mass, right? Those devices that we need to turn off, right? We need to get away from those images and impulses that continue to impress itself on our minds. Can you speak to that before we go to our next caller?
I can. And so my fast from the mass, it started with the TV, and then it actually went to my cell phone. I downgraded my cell phone recently just to have a functional phone that makes calls and sends text messages. It doesn't do much else. And I recognize it's very, very unpopular when I see these people are so good at making people spend money, like capitalism and consumerism. They are so good at saying, you need this thing. When I watch television now, my grandmother often says when she watches TV, either she is totally amazed or totally disgusted, because I feel like a brand new baby when I'm watching it sometimes, just like, wow, I can't even believe they're doing this, or wow, that was really creative the way they did that. But when it comes to consumerism, I just can see it so clearly that it's just a way to take your money, that they don't care about you at all. You don't need this. You don't need that. And stepping away from that was a personal choice that I have sustained because it helped my mental health. It helps me to be able to come back to silence. I can hear my own voice much more clearly when I turn down the volume in my environment. And again, that's unpopular because the volume is so loud, so loud. When I see people, I'm always aware that this opinion is not one that someone can just buy into. People look at my phone and like, oh wow. Well, you need a new phone, or do you need a TV in this room? No, I don't need a TV in this room. But it's something that people don't understand, because there are rules in this society, and you know, me choosing not to abide by them makes me an outlier. My journey here was I had to hit the ground, and
wow.
I try to send that message that, like, you don't have to hit. I hit a really low place, and the floor caught me, thank God. But I don't know if that is what it takes, or what it's going to take. It's for I think COVID was a ground-hitting thing for everybody. And so I imagine that people – got out in nature. People appreciated the social connections that they had. I don't know where people fare about it now, since we're sort of on the other side of it. But sometimes tragedy creates space for perspective and growth and change. And I grabbed that, and I have lived through it ever since then. But it is my hope that it doesn't, that is not the requirement for everyone, especially community, you know, our community. I hope that it will not be the requirement for us to hit the ground in some cultural way for us to see things differently.
Right. So how do you see what's right in front of you that you can't see? That's a really good question for us today.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's go back to the lines. We got DJ Johnson. You're listening live to Empowerment Saturday. And again, great conversation, great topic. Let's go back. 0946, your next question or comment. Do you have a statement for DJ?
Yes, I do. And this is so wonderful. Thank you so much. I am 60 years old. My daughter is going to be 35. Mom, say hi.
Hi.
My mom is 78.
Hey, Mom.
My sister, is 12, 45.
Hello.
And we have been doing so much healing. My mother wasn't a very affectionate mother. I knew that she loved me. And I was born with a child that was touchy-feely. And I didn't know how to relate to her. And so I'm an artist, and so you were saying that perhaps there's another way that we can do this. And so I just want to sing this little chorus that I wrote my daughter, and it's just her name. Her name is Audrey, and it's just real short. I didn't tell you enough that I loved you. I didn't hold you enough to make you feel safe. I didn't look into your eyes so you could see how much you meant to me. I'm sorry I didn't love you affectionately. I don't love you enough.
Sorry.
I didn't hold you enough to make you feel safe. I didn't look into your eyes so you could see how much you meant to me. I'm sorry I didn't love you affectionately. Mama didn't tell me, so I didn't tell you. I just hope you knew. Mama didn't tell me, so I didn't tell you. I just hope you knew. And so at the end of it, I said, I love you. My daughter told me when I sent her that song.
All right.
She cried and cried, and she said, Mama, I just want you to know I knew. Thank you for letting me share.
Wow.
Thank you for sharing that. Wow. That was so beautiful.
All right, you're listening live to Empowerment Saturday. Absolutely. And that's what this show is all about. It's family time. And those are the things
can
that
I just
we need
say
to hear
about
just
that?
As live as it can be. Yes. Go ahead, Dick.
So, oh, man, that was so powerful. I'm so glad she shared that with us. And one thing about trauma is that it expands generations. I mean, we all knew that. We all know that. But especially generations of women and generations of men, you know, all people really.
Mm-hmm.
But to have a mom do her own healing work, to be able to shift a generational pattern with her daughter, that is an umbrella that she is casting over her family. And her daughter will have the ability to step into her own relationship with her children with that healing experience. And when I talk about we in a different show now, but when I talk about inner love and inner kindness, I am also talking about the inner child. And I can only imagine, because I've had to do my own inner child work, I can only imagine how Audrey's inner child was blessed by that song. I'm so grateful to have heard that.
Wow, that's some good stuff. All right, let's go back to the lines. 5416, 804-5416. You're next, you're up. You have a question, comment, statement.
Yeah, my comment is what comes to mind. All that's beautiful. I mean, I'm totally inspired. And we have to teach ourselves junk in, junk out, versus, you know, praise and uplifting. This society that we lived in has been so oppressive for so many years. But we reached a point, I would say in the late 60s or sometimes, we learned to enjoy ourselves, appreciate ourselves, not accept all of this negativity that this country has put on and stipulated that this is how you're supposed to be. In your mind come to grasp that you are a creation of God. God don't make any junk. And when you start
understanding
your innermost being, then you can free your mind. You know what the rest of it is. You know, but that has to do. The good point on this is we were not taught that in yesteryear. I'm hoping that what I'm hearing today is a spread. You know, kids need to know their innermost being and how they can put things in to help themselves and to help society. So I am inspired. Every Saturday, I'm inspired by the people who come in because you get positive feedback and they get, you know, I don't know how anybody cannot be helped by what they're hearing today. Thank you for that time.
All right.
Thank you,
brother. Appreciate you. All right. Great comments. Any thoughts, DJ?
I am also inspired. I feel full by this experience, and I'm very grateful to you both for inviting me here. Yes, I'm full. I appreciate it.
All right, you're welcome. And that is the intention of the show, right? And so, like what you talked about with the all the technology, that's with this capitalism, right? And the strategies that capitalism uses are the things that we need to combat, right, and educate and reinforce in our people so that they can be aware of it, and then they can make the proper choices. It's about education, right? And so we want to continue to educate our community to help them help themselves. That's what it is. All right, let's go back to the lines. We're going over to 252, last four is 5347. Welcome to the show, 5347. You're up next. Do you have a question, comment, a statement for DJ?
Hey, how you doing, DJ? And this beautiful show that you're doing, young lady.
Thank you.
So enlightening. It was so enlightening that the first topic that you seem to have gotten to was grief. Just had a conversation with this young brother here just recently before I embarked on a week-long convention with Historical Black College on opioid and drug medication and addiction in our communities. But the grief and the trauma that goes along with it was one of the things on a personal note that that led to the conversation that he and I had, that I carried from my mother passing, and I carried this internally for some years, and I was so embedded in me that it left me the night after she was diagnosed with ovarian cancer and they couldn't do anything else with her, and I felt like I needed to do the best I could. I had an aneurysm and a stroke and was rendered blind, and so I carried this through my work in my community. That's how I met this young fellow, and it was so embedded in me that I, being into broadcast communication, I couldn't produce the things in the community I was so used to doing. And I having a conversation with him, and I went there, and this brother admonished me about what I was giving and what I was doing. And hearing you speak about it and getting and dealing with it, you know, getting therapy, which I still take it, and it's no shame in, about doing it. Like I said, I just came out of a week-long conference with Duke University and North Carolina Central Historical Black College, and coming back home, being able to bring some resources for my community, getting a health clinic built there. Just hearing about what you can do and still doing and healing yourself. I like the conversation that you guys are having here, and you're so right. And I'm hoping all the others that may be listening find the positivity out of this conversation. So I just like to thank you for allowing me to just share just a little synopsis of what's happened to me, and hope others are getting something out of it as well. So thank you, guys, and keep up the good work.
All right. Thank you, Brother Reg. Newborn in the house. Newburn. I got to get that right. All right, DJ, you got him going today. Thank you. Let's go down. Last call, 9116. 9116. Do you have a question, comment, or statement for DJ? Going once. Going twice. All right. Let's go on over to Slido. We got a few minutes left. Just one more, DJ, I want you to hear. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay. You said stepping away from the influences and doing some inner housekeeping must be embedded within the family system. Can you elaborate on that before we wrap up the show for today?
Absolutely. I'll give you an example. So in my house, we have days where we don't do electronics at all. And in addition to not doing electronics, we have to practice managing the distress of boredom. I have two small kids, and so they think everything is boring if it doesn't have a screen attached to it. And so I am teaching distress tolerance for the distress of what they call boredom. It's really just, I really want to do this stimulating thing, and I don't have the stimulation that I want, so what else can I do with that energy? So naturally, I encourage them to do other things, go outside, read a book, play a game. But there are times when even those things don't feel as fulfilling. And then how can they sit, and how can we all sit in the discomfort of not having those numbing tools? For me, it's sort of turned into work, my laptop. If I don't have my laptop and I'm not working, then I feel like I need to be doing something. For them, it's their Netflix. But when you practice stepping away from that stimulation incrementally, you start to notice how uncomfortable it is. You start to notice what else is available for you to do. And that can be a really good way to practice shifting from an old way to something new, even if it's on your phone. Practice putting down the phone and not checking the text messages or not checking the emails. Practice stepping away from the influence every now and then. And in addition to stepping away, doing a quick assessment about the experience. So it's not just putting it down to say you did it, but notice how uncomfortable it was. Notice the number of times you thought about it. Notice the number of times you went to go pick it up and then remembered. Or notice the number of times that you actually did go pick it up. And once you start to see that distress, then you can practice things like breathing or focusing your attention on something else. But there's always something else you can do outside of the stimulation. You just have to pursue opportunities to do it.
DJ, thank you so much for joining us today. Any final thoughts or any final comments before we wrap up for that? We got to have you back. Any final thoughts?
I would love to come back. That's my only comment.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for joining us. Brother George, any final comments?
Yes, I have had an awesomely amazing experience today. That's my comment.
All right.
Thank you, George.
All right. Thank you, DJ. Thank you, Brother George. Thank you, listeners. Be kind to yourselves. That should be your affirmation for this week. Just do the basics. Eat right, right? Eat from the rainbow. Talk to yourself with positive ways. Or talk to someone who is going to be encouraging to you. Drink water. Exercise. Do some mindfulness. Just take some deep breaths and feel the heartbeat that's flowing through your body or the blood that's flowing through your body. Use keywords like, I'm going to develop a practice. But most importantly, turn the devices off and step away, right? And just learn how to be okay with you just as you are. Like DJ said, go back to the silence. It's golden if you learn how to do that. So that's it for this week. Always remember, become the best person that you can be. It's 365 days of doing that if you're here. So since you're here, do the work of working on yourself. You can't go wrong when you start to love yourself. Until next week, brothers and sisters, peace and blessings. Love you a lot. Stay up. Stay strong.
Blast off the curve to reach. Oh, to reach. To reach the unreachable.
Oh, yeah.